So hi everyone, welcome back to Weekly Business Podcast by Ruhi. So today I'm joined by Tristan Chambers. So hi Tristan, so how do you juggle everything that you've been doing?
It's taken me years to get used to the process of how I do different things. I grew up having high functioning ADHD, so I'm always doing something at every moment of the day. My mind is always going, whether it's with an idea or something that I'm planning or, something I'm creating. It doesn't matter really, but I just find that I really have found a system for myself that allows me to get multiple things done all at one time. So it makes it a little bit easier to juggle.
Would you mind sharing what that system is for the audience?
Yeah, so a lot of what I have developed as a system is looking at, let's say if I'm, creating content for myself or doing something in the, business aspects of my organization that I run, separate from all the other things I do, I look at not only my creating content for my organization and my personal brand, but I'm also creating content that can be used multiple different ways. A lot of the times with coming up with ideas, I have a system that I go through of questions, of do I think this idea will work? Why do I want to do it? What is the future looking like if I go down this route? A lot of times it's just taking a shot in the dark and hoping it goes well. So I certainly have a more laid back system, but for me, I feel like it's helped me very well.
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway today was to have some kind of a system. So next I want to kind of pivot into how do you create content? How do you kind of decide what is that value that you will provide? What's your value proposition?
Yeah, so there's various different ways I create content. On YouTube, I have three different channels that I focus on. One is gaming and lifestyle content. One is primarily business and sort of creator economy videos. And then the other is more towards personal finance and investing. And then when it comes to streaming, I typically stream video games like Call of Duty and things like that. And then from there, I ultimately use that as the backbone of the content that I create. And then on Twitter, I'm occasionally giving my own insights on the industries that I work in or things that I see happening just in everyday life. When it comes to Instagram, that's where I post a lot of content. When I go to events and do photos or videos or just also little things that people don't see behind the scenes of from my life. I do have TikTok, but I don't post as often on there as I'd like to.
Wow. So you have kind of taken a multi-platform, a multi-channel approach. So my next question to you is, so how do you kind of avoid burnout as a creator? And what are your top things that you would suggest for any newbie creators trying to come up in the space? Yeah, that's awesome. So now, and you've mentioned a great point on subject-based content. So now I wanted to dive in to what's your exact process, and could you share anything about how to create subject-based content?
Yeah, so my process for making content is different depending on what I'm doing. So with gaming videos, that typically takes me anywhere between 10 to 15 minutes to record. It takes me probably an hour and a half to 2 hours to edit a video because I go frame by frame and, choosing different music for the background and ultimately making sure that I gave enough value and enough length of the actual gameplay to get people to enjoy it. When it comes to the other types of content I make, like my business or more influencer related content, that's where I spend a lot more time finding research, looking at articles to provide for information, spending a lot of time making sure that I have the right thumbnails and graphics in place for that video. And then with the finance content that I do on YouTube, that probably takes the least amount of time. It probably takes 10 minutes total to record a video, add my face video to it, and edit it and upload it, which is really, you know, something that's more relaxing to do. And then, you know, when it comes to places like Instagram, where I post concert photos or event photos or just like everyday photos, sometimes I spend a little bit of time editing photos, especially if it's concert. I'd spend anywhere between probably 10 to 40, 50 minutes editing a video or editing a photo, making sure that it looks right, that it captures the environment very well, that it captures the people in that concert very well, and things of that nature.
Awesome. So editing is kind of that big pain point for you. So what do you suggest to people to kind of systemize that editing process?
When it comes down to that, I think everyone just has to find what works for them. A lot of what I do is heavily, you know, once I make something, I save it as a template. And then I know that I can always swap out clips here and there. So whether it's making a finance video rather than having to start from scratch, I can just put one clip in where the other one used to be. It keeps all the editing that I had on the original and makes it a little bit easier with the gaming content. That's where it's a little bit more of individually looking at every moment and finding, is there enough times where I'm silent in the video? Is there times where I got more interaction in game and thus something to highlight, or it really does depend.
So basically, in short, so your tips are to find what works for them. So my next question is, so what are your thoughts on the creator economy, and where do you think its intersection lies between esports and media?
So I myself am after 10 years of making content, I get burnout every once in a while. And you know, that I've come to learn comes with the job description of creating content. And I think ultimately you have to find a balance of, you know, making a video relaxing or testing something new every once in a while to see if something different will work. You know, like in the case of, I have continued to make gaming content, but also spent more time making shorts on YouTube and other types of subject-based content, to where I feel like it gives me a little bit more of a fresh air from just sitting down at my setup and continuously making gaming videos every single day. So there's that. And at the same time, the other advice I'd give is to really create like a schedule for yourself of, you know, creating, and that allows you to have consistency and also makes you better at what you're doing over time, right? So whether that's saying I'm going to commit an hour and a half at the most to edit a video, you know, whether it's a gaming video, lifestyle video, or some kind of content like that. Maybe it's, you know, a live stream. So maybe you're spending an hour to 4 hours, or maybe you have more time to do it, then you might be able to spend more than 4 hours. So it really depends from there as well. It's a very good question. You know, as someone who's spent 10 years in the creator economy, I've watched multiple eras of, you know, content and influencers develop their own brands, and while doing the same with my own. And I see right now that we're at a point in time in culture where the creator economy is at its best, right? TikTok is thriving more than ever. You know, we just had VidCon here in the United States very recently, which had a lot of amazing creators and fans and people attend that event. The state of brand deals is better than ever. You know, there's companies reaching out to everybody, no matter what genre or niche you're focused in for content. And at the same time, you see a lot of people with the rise of TikTok and multi-channel strategies and you know, being able to build their own brands are becoming household names. You look at Charli D'Amelio, you look at Addison Rae, you look at you know, so many other people out there, big, small, individual, who can blow up at any moment. Whereas platforms like Instagram and YouTube and Twitter, you had to be very lucky and had to play the system very right in order to get to that point.
Awesome. Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway was the rise of TikTok and how creator economy is at its best. So my next question to you is, so now I wanted to kind of pivot into like VC ecosystem and like funding and all that. So my next question to you is, so could you share a bit about your experience on Techstars and Shark Tank and kind of pitching to VCs and what's...
Yeah, so, you know, for clarification with the Techstars thing, that was the city that I live in here in the United States. They had a startup week that was presented by Techstars, and I got to pitch, or not pitch, but more present the company that I've been building for the last 6 years, that being Spark Esports and Entertainment, which is kind of my creative sandbox for all ideas that I build, sort of a startup engine, if you will, or a startup factory is the correct term, sorry. With Shark Tank, that was definitely a very surreal experience. You know, I had just dropped out of college 3 months prior to that at the time, and was really all in on trying to do what I could. And so when I was made aware that Shark Tank was coming to my city, I knew I don't have a product-based company. I have a more of service-based, but wanted to try to, you know, go through that process and you know, see if eventually I could end up on the show. You know, I've been a big fan of Shark Tank for many, many years. And so that was a, you know, fun journey. I learned a lot. There were a lot of questions that I had to answer on forms and applications and things that I never really considered asking myself when running a business. So that gave me a lot of insight as to how to run a better business and, you know, things like that.
What's your kind of top advice for those first-time founders who are wanting to pitch to VC?
My best advice that I can give is three things. One, bet on yourself and always believe in yourself. That's the first one. Basically, there's a lot of people who today have kind of been taught to go to college, don't chase their dreams, you know, go the more traditional route. Whereas I was someone who focused more during my high school, my middle school and high school years on trying to build a business and trying to build something that I knew could last longer and be as good as it could be. The second thing I would say is establish a circle of people that you can reach out to, whether it's mentors, other co-founders, whether they're seasoned veterans in you know, the startup space or building their own for the first time, because those people will have some ideas or some thoughts that will help you. And the third thing I would say is take every chance that you possibly can get, right? Whether it's applying to a startup studio, whether it's just applying yourself to every possible thing that you can or trying everything that you can, just do that, because eventually you're going to find something that works for you. You're going to find a business idea that is going to work. And ultimately, that's going to help you. You know, I'm sure for every 100 bad ideas, there became Tesla. For every, you know, bad idea out there, you know, there was eventually Google. So, you know, you have to really look at what works best and you know, taking every opportunity you can.
Yeah, I think your ending point was very powerful. And so now I wanted to kind of pivot into, how do you find a good idea? How do you validate your startup idea? And like, anything you can share for that?
Yeah, that's a very good question. The way I come up with startup ideas, is I look at if there is an existing product out there already. You know, if I, let's say if I'm wanting to create a digital bank, I look at what are the competitors out there that are doing their own things. What are their pros or cons? What are the things that they leave a gap in that particular sector to work on? And then I try to see if I'm able to do that through the business idea. Sometimes it's also just taking a gamble on something and thinking, you know, I'm super passionate about this. I think that this really has a great customer model potentially. Or, you know, again, it really depends, you know, but I'd ultimately say a lot of the times it's just, you know, trusting my gut. And, you know, I sort of say that if I'm really fixated on what a certain company is trying to do in the market, even if they're the market leader or, you know, the go-to company for the particular product or service, then I try to see how can I compete with you and, you know, find my own place in that industry.
That's a fantastic framework you've shared today about how to find existing products, how to compete, and how to kind of create a value prop that is unique. So my next question to you is, so what is your thoughts on Nebraska as a Silicon Prairie and the startup ecosystem there?
That's a very good question. You know, I've lived here for the last 8 years or so, and I've got to watch the startup community here in Nebraska, both from the small towns to the bigger cities. You know, I live in the capital city, that being Lincoln. And I've got to watch, again, you know, the startup community really thrive, getting to see young people coming out of high school, building their own things, getting venture back, you know, and then even I've been lucky enough to, forge a good connection with the, you know, premier startup studio and accelerator in Nebraska, who I can always go to and give my thoughts on or get thoughts on an idea that I'm working on, or really, you know, reach out to whenever I'm dealing with a problem. And also, you know, they have some things that I apply to every once in a while with an idea that I want to do or an idea that is already in the works. But you know, it's really nice to see the innovation, the creativity, and the entrepreneurial spirit coming out of Nebraska. You know, again, the Silicon Prairie, as everyone knows it, there's a lot, you know, whether it's farming and technology, agnostic stuff, consumer behavior, electronics, there's all sorts of different things that even if it doesn't go through a startup or a startup accelerator or a venture capital company initially, there's always something happening, you know.
That's awesome. So I wanted to follow up with this with, what are you currently bullish on in the startup ecosystem as a whole, and also where you live in your hometown of Lincoln?
What I'm bullish on with startups is startups that really focus on their customer base and are driven on that, you know. A good example with Spark and our thesis as a VC is that we focus on companies that you can not only use that product and feel that you have a sense of pride in being part of that, and at the same time, companies that are focused in an area where there's so much improvement. The other things that I'm really bullish on with startups is startups that try to be bold and unique and really try to not adhere to the same playbook as everyone else, having a different social media strategy, a different way they interact with their customers, a different way that they handle marketing, whether that's in person or digitally, the way that they treat, you know, their customers or the people that use their product. So that's something that I look at and am super supportive of. And with LinkedIn, you know, there's always something going on here, you know, even though it's sometimes, you know, very quiet. So whether it's something that, you know, the University of Nebraska is doing, you know, there's always some kind of business event or some kind of, you know, just casual lifestyle event going on. The entertainment landscape here in Lincoln is really great for concerts and doing all sorts of different things. And it's fun, you know, knowing that you live in a big city, but, you know, yet the time it takes for me to get to my house to downtown is less than 30 minutes. You know, there's so many other things about Lincoln that's really great compared to all the other places I've lived in the world. So I, you know, I'm lucky I get to call it home, you know.
Really great investment thesis that you shared, and also how Lincoln is a really happening place. So my last question to you is, now I'd like to dive deep into how you, I saw one of your Instagram posts where you talked about not fitting in and being beaten up. So I wanted to understand from you, how did you overcome that? And how did you kind of, anything you could share for people going through the same thing?
Yeah, you know, my situation growing up was I was diagnosed with autism and Asperger's syndrome at the age of 4. And so coupled with the fact of moving every couple years because my dad was active in the United States military, I had the challenges of always moving and not being able to make friends. And as I grew up dealing with, you know, a social and behavioral disability, you know, I got being verbally and physically by other people, in school and just in daily life for having autism, because, you know, you're looked at as, sort of an outsider or an oddball compared to everyone else. And that really helped build my character, because it taught me that, it doesn't matter what bad people do in this world. It matters about the good that you can do and be a good role model. I used that to give myself a lot of confidence when I was younger. And even throughout my high school years, there were some times where I dealt with verbal bullying, and I took it very much in stride and used that to help turn that negativity and hate into positivity and not focus on the bad things people would say about me. And I think, you know, depending on what someone's situation that they're going through listening to this podcast, hopefully can find some strength in that, is knowing that, you know, there's so many good people out there in the world. And if you have some kind of disability or something that makes you different than everybody else, that's not a burden. That's, you know, you being you, and you should own that. And at the same time, you use that, you know, that, to build your character and strength and build yourself, to something that everybody can look up to and respect.
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway from this and your whole story is that difference is not a burden. So it was a really awesome experience hosting you on the podcast today, and I really enjoyed the conversation.